This is the third increase in the minimum wage, which was mandated by a law that the legislature passed several years ago. And I'm curious, now that we've got some history, and I know you in the Minnesota Chamber have been looking at this, what have been the effects of this, and particularly what do you anticipate might happen if we have some economic weakening, as some people are concerned about?
Minnesota businesses that are under more competitive pressure than ever before, and for many of those companies, wages are a key part of their cost of doing business. So the fact that on August 1st of this year, the legislature mandates that the minimum wage go from $9 to $9.50, that's a significant bump. And the way that unfolds is it doesn't just raise the wage of minimum wage workers, but it tends to ripple its way through the economy and affect the wages of other workers, because as a practical matter, most Minnesota employers are paying significantly more than the state mandated minimum. They're doing that because the last few years the labor market has tightened, and we're seeing employers raising wages. I visited earlier this week with an employer in southern Minnesota who recently went from a starting wage of $11 an hour to $15 an hour. And why? Because he's fortunate enough to have a business that's growing, and he needs more workers. And one way to get more workers is to raise wages. And somebody might say, well, then why do you object to the minimum wage going up? Well, this guy is raising his wage because of the demand for his service and the ability to get more productivity out of the workers. That's light years different than the Minnesota legislature and the governor kind of, you know, passing a law mandating it. This guy's making that decision as a part of his business strategy. He's thought it through. He knows he can afford it. He knows that he's got the productivity to justify it. And he also thinks it will help him get the workers that he needs.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill, and I understand what you're saying. It makes sense from a business standpoint. What about the other side of the argument, which is, a social policy argument, that there are some wages being paid by some employers for whatever reason? You know, the economics of it probably dictated. I doubt if lawmakers would argue that with you. But that those wages are just not enough for people to make a decent living, what's called a living wage, to support their families. How do you respond to that?
My experience with Minnesota employers is that they maximize their wages based on the ability of their business to be successful. No business owner wants to jeopardize the business by letting their expenses get out of control, and expenses include wages. So if I'm running a business and I make wages higher than the market will bear, either the labor market or the companies that I compete with, and by doing that I lose the business, I have to close. Where's the justice in that? So the people who had jobs are now unemployed. So instead of having a wage of, let's say, you know, $12 or $13 an hour, now they've got nothing. So I'm not sure. I think the social justice argument is important in discussing wages. But when we have that debate, we always have to be conscious of, we have to understand that is a job that pays a modest wage better than no job at all? And if you press the wage mandates too far, then we end up with no job at all. And where is the justice in that? So, you know, there's one other little thing to think about, too.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
We're talking about it. I think it is important that policymakers raise the issue of a livable wage and that families have enough money to sustain themselves. But I think where we fall short is we don't consider all of the policy options that are available to get to that livable wage. So, for example, instead of focusing on the minimum wage, we could look at our low-income credit, for example. We could raise the low-income credit so that Minnesotans with lower wages have less tax liability, or maybe we should even move, for example, to a negative income tax where we're providing, you know, more support for low-wage workers. My point is that there are other policy tools available to us to help Minnesotans achieve a livable wage. These are, you know, options that would be substitutes, if you will, for mandating a wage, which creates some of the competitive issues that I've talked about. Working on the low-income credit or maybe going to a negative income tax, that doesn't hurt us on the competitiveness side. And frankly, if we use some of those tools, we might be able to back off on some of the other spending programs and use the dollars we save there to finance a better low-income credit or a better child care credit or a negative income tax.